Welcome to the Lucra Podcast. I'm your host, Mindy Kinnis. My goal is to fan the flame of the dream in your heart. As my guests and I share our journeys on the path to success, you'll get an insider's look at how we got to where we are and the beliefs that create our reality. When you follow your heart path to ignite your mind and delight your spirit, you can create a lucrative life of freedom and purpose. Enjoy the show.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode. This one, I'm going to do a little AMA, that is Ask Me Anything. I received this question from Perry. This is what he says. Even though I'm in my 40s, I've had a number of health challenges that I've had my whole life and have been having to come to terms with the limitations it's created. Essentially, I'm just super sensitive to everything. Something along the lines of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. I'm not sure what that is, but we'll go with it. I am doing better physically than before, but it's still very challenging. It destroys my confidence in relationships, friendship, romantic, and business. Public events are tough. Travel is tough. Nothing like what Sean had, but I always wanted to ask him how he coped. He couldn't just party everything away. There must have been times he just couldn't do things, and it impacted him and everyone around him. But you are still here. And I would really like to ask you some questions about how you and Sean made things work. Your input would likely be extremely valuable. I ask because as a man with a lot of masculine energy, it's really difficult to also be physically hypersensitive. It really makes it difficult to be or feel masculine in the times where the environment overpowers me harder than the types of friends, colleagues, and especially ladies that I want to have in my life. So it would be very helpful if you were able to share about how his physical challenges affected your initial dating as well as the long-term success of the relationship. Actual daily life couldn't be a constant dance party, so how did it actually work? How did you deal with the limitations? And what can you share as far as how the feminine and masculine energies played out too? Did you have to play more of a protector and structure things like masculine activities, so to speak? Did you hire assistants for things like that so that Sean could take the lead, but by directing others? Okay, so tons and tons of stuff in here. And let's talk about some of this, how it was. I know people are always curious. They were always watching our videos, asking stuff online, everything about our sex life, to how we met, to dating, to all of that. So let's get into some of this. First and foremost, I want to separate out the confidence bit from your physical situation, because those are two vastly different things. And when you said it destroys my confidence, I'm like, that's not what's destroying your confidence. Your mindset is what is destroying your confidence. So I want to be super clear about, like, that does not have to be one and the same. Those are two separate issues. And you absolutely 100% have the ability within, so nothing to do with your physical situation, you have the ability within to shift and to change your mindset. That would be your confidence, your belief in yourself, even the belief of how things will be for you in the future. All of that has the possibility to shift and to change if you so choose. Sean chose. He chose to use his assets, in other words, his mind and his confidence, to create the world that he lived in. Before we met, one of his biggest challenges and the thing that he most desired and wanted was to find, as he said, the woman of his dreams. Now, he says that that was me, and it worked in both ways. Here's what we did to connect with each other. We both independently, we didn't know each other, we both independently had lists of what it was that we wanted in a partner. What are the things that would be amazing? What are the things that would be nice? Like, on my would be nice list, I would love to date a guy with an accent. Sean didn't have one. Okay, it would have been nice, but totally not a deal breaker by any means. The third part of that list is, what are your deal breakers? And our lists so matched up, so much so that I had put on my list I didn't want to date anyone taller than 5'8". Well, I didn't put a minimum on that list. And then who do I get? Sean. He was shorter than 5'8". So everything, like every one of our absolute essentials matched up, and we even had a lot of the would-be nices. So starting there, that's kind of how we attracted each other. Then dating, here's the distinction. And I want to tell you a story. This isn't about him and I, but there was somebody online. And as you probably might guess, Sean would get a lot of hate, trolls, just all kinds of people online, just because of his visibility and because he had some different things going on than the rest of us. So somebody, though, and I have no idea who this was, so if you happen to be watching this out there, like, thank you, because I totally respect and appreciate you. Somebody out there commented once on Sean's videos, and he was like, yeah, you know what? Like, Sean actually does make me uncomfortable, but I recognize that that's a me thing. It's not a him thing. It's not about him, his body shape, his disability, whatever. Like, whoever this guy was, he recognized within himself that that was his own issue. Like, his discomfort was his issue. And I was like, thank you. I totally appreciate your honesty, first of all, your transparency, vulnerability. And yes, like, it is a you issue. So to Perry, if there are people in your life and they have an issue with your situation, that's a them thing. It doesn't have to be a you thing. Now, you can take it on and like feel badly for them and feel awkward for them and whatever that might turn into for you, but you don't have to. You can show up fully as yourself. And if they have a problem with that, that's their problem. Like, it's really actually none of your business to figure out whatever is going on in their mind. Like, don't even let that come into your situation, because it's not about you. It's about their own issues or their own discomfort. So when Sean and I first met, I didn't even know what his abilities would be, capabilities. Like, I didn't know what he'd be able to do and not do. And very quickly, though, I was like, he really can do most things. Now, obviously, he couldn't walk. He was in a wheelchair. But as far as lots of other things, he absolutely could do them, or he could do them in a specific way. And that's really what we focused on. Now, that was how he had grown up. His family fully focused on what he could do versus what he could not do. And we just continued that same way of thinking, because I was always like, look, if you can do this thing, you're going to help me with household chores or whatever it might be. Like, he was absolutely responsible for that stuff. He wouldn't have been able to hold up, you know, a big shirt and fold it. But you know what he could do? He could match the socks. So when we did laundry, he was in charge of matching the socks. Like, I am fully in like equal partnership. So I wasn't going to take on all of the housework, and obviously neither did he, but we shared the responsibilities, and it was based on like what he could do. He would sit on the counter. I would put him up on the counter, and he would chop vegetables if we were cooking together. He would sit next to the stove. He even created a whole cooking show. So he learned how to cook himself and would create all kinds of things. So anything that he could do, or even thought that he might be able to do, like, at first he did not know how to cook. Let's just be clear about that. The comedy of 3 Foot Chef was like, he really truly did not know what he was doing. And he made a big, big mess every time. But if there was something that he could do, that's what he would do. So there was always this balancing of equal responsibilities, let's say, in our experience together, in our dating, in our relationship, in our marriage, in our household. So there was that. And then you asked about this masculine energy. And, you know, it was interesting in your question, you said something about being able to structure things. Okay, between the two of us, me and Sean, he was not that good at that. It just was not one of his skills. Me, I am much better at structuring and organizing. Also, I am very confident in my own masculine energy, very confident in my feminine and very confident in my masculine. He had a lot of both as well. So instead of fully playing out, let's say, you know, the dominant masculine role, like that's not how it was for us at all. He definitely had that. And I'll give you an example of this. When we were early on in our relationship, I had always, even with previous guys that I had dated, felt very responsible to just make sure everything was done, things were happening, to carry like the weight, even sometimes financially. And I remember this wonderful experience that I had with Sean. And this, like I said, was early on. He was like, "Min, with me, you don't have to do that. I got you." And that to me was like the best showcasing of his masculinity, the supporter, the just, I don't want to say caretaker because it wasn't like that, but just the fully like protector in that way. Now, of course, he couldn't do that physically, but in terms of like financial, in terms of relational, in terms of all of these other things, he absolutely was like, "You don't have to carry all of that on your shoulders. You can be the feminine." And I was like, wonderful. So I would say that you probably, you being Perry or anyone else that resonates with, you can probably do the same thing for your woman. Like, it doesn't have to be this physical display of masculinity as we tend to think of it. So in general, a lot of the stuff that we would do on a day-to-day basis, he could do on his own. Once we set everything up so that he could be as independent as possible, and I was like fully on board for that. I'm like, what else can we do to make your life more independent? I'm all for it. And he totally had to deal with me. I'm a highly sensitive person, HSP, like every question on that quiz I would say yes to, he had to deal with that. So like we both had our things that we were not that good at in terms of capabilities or things that we could do or ways in which we felt comfortable or not. So we both had to like deal with different things. And I think that that is true in any relationship. You know, everybody has strange quirks and whatever. Some of them happen to be like physical disabilities. Some of them happen to be emotional things. Some of them happen to be whatever it might be. But the reality is when it's the right person for you, that stuff is not going to be the main issue. The main issue is like, this is this amazing connection that we have. This is this incredible bond that we have. The number one thing that I miss about Sean is the friendship, is like we were each other's best friends, closest confidants, the one that would like stand up and fight for each other at any point in time. That's what I miss the most. So to answer your question about like how actually things work, yes, as we made more money over the years, we were able to hire different people to do different things. So Sean essentially had two different assistants. He had an executive assistant, which was in our business. You know, she did customer communication and helped with live events and all kinds of like billing and doing contracts with Sean's speeches, all of that stuff. So he had Rose, who was the executive assistant. And then he had a whole number of, you could call them physical assistants. Sean called them bodyguards, whatever you want to call them. And they were guys who generally like young, strong, strapping guys who could take him places and, you know, do things that he wasn't able to do. I'll give you an example. Sean really wanted to be able to clean the windows in our house because he was like pissed that they weren't as clean as he would have liked them. And I was like, well, I don't have time to do that right now. So you can either go hire somebody or you can figure that out. He got his assistant to clean the windows at our house one day. So I come home and this guy, like, I don't even think I had met the guy yet, but this guy is just washing the windows. Okay, you know, whatever. So he had somebody to be like his arms and legs, essentially. And also those people could travel with him. And what was really nice about that, again, like fostering that independence, so he wasn't always reliant on me. By the end, I wasn't traveling with him that much. He would go out with a friend or with an assistant, and I'd be like, great, you know, see you in a few days when you get back. And that was awesome because, like I said, I am an introvert. I thrive on solitude and quiet and alone time for sure. Sean, although he leaned more into that toward the end of his life, he earlier was much more of an extrovert, you know, wanted something to go on. What he said, though, is that he's like, once I found my person, he's like, I didn't need all that. You know, all of that was just to find the right woman. And once I got her, I didn't need all that jazz in my life. So he definitely, like, over the years became quieter, more of a homebody, but still liked, you know, the fun and to be out. And especially, he also knew that I would love to be like, okay, go with your buddies, go with the brotherhood, and, you know, get some time with the guys, and then come back, and I will be delighted to see you. And that brings up another point, the brotherhood. It is vitally, vitally important that, I mean, I would say anybody, but especially someone that is facing challenges like this, to have strong male friendships. That was the thing that got Sean through some of the hardest times, and most especially when he and I were going through hard times. I mean, he and I could bond through things and really support each other through things when it involved someone else. But when it was him and I, that was a whole different thing. He relied on this group of men who were truly his brothers. And that ultimately, he said to them, this was literally like 2 days before he died. He had a video to the whole group of the brothers. And essentially what he said was, I have everything that I want now in my life, and I have you all to thank for that. Because they saw him through. Some of them he had known well before he met me. So they had been on that journey with him of finding true love, finding happiness, creating the lifestyle that he wanted, you know, building out the things in his business that he wanted to do. They had seen him through all of that stuff. So male friendship, I cannot speak more highly and how important that is to have those kind of people in your life. I'll tell you one final story, which will hopefully illustrate some of the ways in which we were together. I'm a big hiker. I love the outdoors. I love being in the wilderness. And most of the time, I am solo hiking. So I had this Camelback backpack to carry my water. And because it was made for women and it was like a smaller size, it fit really, really nicely on the back of Sean's wheelchair. Well, he most of the time would carry some kind of backpack behind him just to put things in. And at one point, he commandeered my Camelback backpack and he had it on his wheelchair. And I was like, babe, like, I mean, obviously I could have just taken it, but like, we didn't have that kind of relationship. We actually had a lot of respect for each other. So I was like, babe, you know, like, can I have my backpack so I can go hiking? And I don't even remember all the details, but it's like he wouldn't give me this backpack back. And like I said, again, I could have just taken it off the chair. He wouldn't have been able to do anything about it. But like, I was like, what is the deal? Like, why do you need your own Camelback? Or like, what is happening? As it turns out, and this was months later, and he actually, I'll have to see if there's a video of it. He has shared this story from stage. Months later, he comes to me and he's like, Min, I want you to take your backpack back. And I'm like, okay, thanks. Like, what? What was the deal with the backpack? Like, why did you want to hold on to this for so long? He was like, well, I didn't realize this at first, but through journaling, so I would recommend that to all of you as well, like journal out all the crap in your head, and then you can see how much crap it is and be like, okay, what can I do to change this? He said, through my journaling, I realized that I wanted to hold on to that backpack because I didn't want you going out hiking by yourself, because I was concerned that what if you met somebody out there, a guy out there that you could go hiking with and you would want to be with him and not with me. And I just looked at him and I'm like, Sean, you are such an idiot. Like, I don't even like most other people. I don't even like hiking with other people. The likelihood that if I was out hiking, that I would run into some guy and be like, oh, I'm going to leave Sean for this guy just because this guy can walk. I'm like, you're out of your freaking mind. But that is the perfect example of how our own, and we all have them, 100% of us, we all have our own insecurities, that to someone else, they'd be like, you are such an idiot. Why are you even thinking that? Like, that's not even true. What? But he had made up this whole story in his head about how if I went out hiking, I was going to meet some guy and he could then like protect that by holding onto my backpack. There's no rationale in that. There's no logic in that. And that was how we were. So a couple of points from that story. One is we respected each other greatly. I wasn't just going to like do something because I could, and you know, he wouldn't have any say in it. We had conversation. We communicated all the time about everything. Sometimes I'd be like, okay, a little too much. Stop talking, please. But even that, like, that was just who he was. So there's that. And then just the insecurity that he had. Now, I didn't have that insecurity. I didn't even think that. I thought he was absolutely bananas for even suggesting that that would potentially happen and that he was afraid of that happening. I'm like, Sean, like, what? So we ourselves can build up these stories in our head to be true, like true in quotes, and they then can take over our rationale, our logic of what we know to be actually true. What is actually true, and Sean knew this, is that I was 100% devoted, committed, and delighted to be in that relationship with him. So this whole thing about the backpack, it was just ridiculous. But it just goes to show that, like, even people like Sean Stevenson, so many people look up to him as like, oh my gosh, just bulletproof confidence. I talked about this on a recent podcast because somebody was mentioning Rich Gurman, if you listen to that episode. And I was like, that wasn't always the case. Another case in point that I will share with you, he probably would have shared this with you too, but we were at a friend's house in California one time, and this friend happened to have a whole wall of mirrors in the bedroom that we were staying in. Well, when we were having some intimate time, Sean kind of like happened to glance over at the mirror and he just got so distraught. And I was like, babe, like what, what is wrong here? And he was like, I can't even believe that you love me. And I'm like, you punk, that's because you don't even love you. Like, what the hell? This is a you issue now. Like in that case, as I am here, I am telling you that I am loving you. I am showing you in this way. I am, you know, being that loving to you. Like, what, there isn't anything else that I could do. That is then now in your mind. That is a you thing to figure out for yourself. Like, if you believe that is true, because there's no way that I could do something else to convince you of that. What it would be is simply you deciding that, yeah, Mindy loves me exactly as I am. Okay, let's move on. So I hope that that gives you a little insight into how it worked for us. I will say this, later in his life, there were some challenges that were like getting harder for him. He was finding it more difficult to like get and go to the bathroom himself. His teeth, like he had a lot of teeth pulled and it got more challenging to eat normal things. So we ended up blending a lot of stuff and just making like things to, you know, that he could mash up really. So certainly there were challenges, but all of that, any of that pales in comparison to the power of our belief in each other the way that we wanted to support each other's dreams, the way that we partnered on things and came together on things when things were really, really hard. Some of the stuff that we went through, whether it was on my side or his side, there was a lot of stuff, and that's life. Like, everybody goes through stuff. But having someone like that by your side, there's nothing better than that. And knowing that you're in a relationship like that is worth doing all of the work that Sean did. He had to work hard for that confidence. He had to work hard against, like, the demons in his mind. And him, I would say, even more so than me. He was very impacted by, oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes, what people thought, and sometimes even about money, not even necessarily his physical stuff, but like, oh, you know, we haven't made $1 million yet. What are people going to think? Like, well, we're working our way there. So whatever, you know, they can think whatever they want. So he did a ton of personal development, and he had this unending optimism. He would often get very, very tired. He was like, it was almost like if you've seen a kitten or a puppy or maybe any baby animal where they're like, go, 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 go. And then in an instant, they'll like fall asleep in their food or something. He kind of was like that. He'd be go, 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 very high energy. And then at the end of certain days, he would just be completely crashed out on the couch and just fast asleep. But that's how he lived. It was like very much on or off. And he was that way all the way until the end. So I hope that showcases a little bit about how life was truly like for us. And I dare say how normal it was. Now, I'm sure other people would look at our relationship and be like, oh my gosh, like Mindy must have to deal with all these things. I really didn't think of it like that. It was like, this is my husband. You know, this is Sean. Okay. It's just how it was. And when you can find somebody that will think in that way of you and all of you that happen to be watching this, that then is something to fight for. That is something to grab a hold of and do whatever work you need to do on yourself to facilitate that relationship becoming amazing. One more thing, just thought of what we would call self-cleaning ovens. So oftentimes, if there was any issue between us, we would go to work on ourselves. It wasn't about blaming the other person. We both felt like we need to be self-cleaning ovens so that we can come and show up cleanly for the other person. Like, our issues were not because of the other person. If we had an issue, that would be ourselves. So we knew that. We knew we needed to do the work on ourselves. And that allowed us then to come together in a more clean and respectful state, knowing that, like, we take full responsibility for everything in our own life, in our own existence, in our own belief system, all of that. And that really impacted just the power of the relationship that we were able to create as well. So once again, hope that helps. If any of you have any questions about anything, it is called Ask Me Anything. Write into hello@lucra.com and we'd be happy to create a show for you. Thanks so much.
Thanks ever so much for listening. Whenever you're ready, here are three ways I can help you create a more lucrative life. 1, subscribe for free to my lucrative newsletter for weekly insights on business, money, and mindset. 2, join Club Lucra to connect with a like-minded community so that you don't have to go it alone. 3, work with me one-on-one to chart the course from where you are to where you want to be. Everything you need is at lucra.com. That's LUCRA.com. Lucra, where wealth equals well-being.